Hello, welcome to Foreign Matters, titled Iran, Between a Rock and Exile. The British historian Arnold Toynbee said, civilization is a movement, not a condition, a voyage, not a harbour. It's tempting to take this maxim, apply it to Iran, and suggest that Iranian civilization is stuck in dry dock. This would be unfair to a rich, varied and vibrant culture. But when it comes to justice, a mark of a civilization, the judicial system of Iran is anchored in a deep 6th century harbour. Those seeking to enchain it are under enormous pressure, and as they have for three decades, some break under this pressure and flee the country, thus depriving it of some of the finest minds that civilization produces. This is a familiar story. Large segments of the middle class of Iraq fled during the Saddam years. Many Serb liberal intellectuals were scattered to the corners of Europe in the 1990s. They left behind those who were silenced and those who operated within a climate of fear. There's always a tension between the groups, and there is often a feeling of guilt in those who've fled. But often they've had no choice. When the intellectuals begin to be murdered, choices become rather stark. Iran is somewhere between Saddam's Iraq and Milosevic's Serbia. The former was a total police state in which the entire population lived in fear, even those within the Ba'ath Party. Any dissent could end in death. Even the traditional refuge of a persecuted population, political jokes, were limited. Serbia had a thriving opposition, media, street demonstrations, and crucially a river of jokes at Milosevic's expense, which flowed through political and social discourse. Iran is a place where intellectuals do disappear, where opposition leaders' houses are raided, where newspapers are closed down, but it's no Saddam's Iraq. The case of the Iranian woman, Sakineh Mohammadi Ashtiani, who was convicted of adultery and sentenced to be stoned to death, has received worldwide coverage. Less known is that another two people received this sentence for alleged adultery just last week, thus showing how little Iran cares about international opinion. Amnesty International says it has received credible reports that Iran's Supreme Court has upheld a previous ruling by a lower court. It's also investigating reports of another couple receiving the same sentence in northeastern Iran. Such is the climate of fear surrounding these cases that last month, the lawyer who defended Mrs. Ashtiani fled the country and sought exile in Norway. Mohammad Mostafaye claims the authorities, who had already threatened him, were about to have him arrested. This week, his wife and 7-year-old daughter were given permission to travel to Norway to see him on tourist visas. The family say they hope to return to Iran, but Mr. Mostafaye's wife, Fereshte, who was held in solitary confinement in Tehran's Evin prison for 2 weeks, has now spoken about other innocent people held in Iranian prisons, thus endangering her liberty should she return. Comments from the Norwegian authorities suggest that if the family applies for asylum, the case would be looked at sympathetically. Mr. Mostafaye specialised in defending juveniles sentenced to be hanged. Well, that's an expertise with limited relevance to Norway. He must now try and rebuild a life and a career. Mrs. Ashtiani languishes in Iran and under the shadow of her death sentence. It's unclear whether the outcry over her fate means the Iranian government now intends to hang or stone her. At this point, it's worth revisiting the rules surrounding stoning according to the Iranian Penal Code. Article 102 states that men will be buried up to their waists and women up to their necks for the purpose of execution by stoning. This is to protect the woman's modesty. The logic of religious jurisprudence, as practiced in Iran, is because the stones will not hit her breasts, the woman's modesty will be preserved, although her life will not. If the victim can struggle free, they're free to go. Naturally, the man has a greater chance of escaping than does a woman. Article 104 appears designed to ensure a slow death. The stones should be, quote, not large enough to kill the person by one or two strikes, nor should they be so small that they could not be defined as stones. There'll be no pebble throwing at such stonings. Is this a civilization on a voyage? The Iranian government believes stoning is civilized in order to preserve morality for the greater good. Or is this, in Toynbee's words, a condition? If it is, it might be pronounced sick. That's Foreign Matters. See you next time.